Good morning. I want to welcome each and every one of you here this morning. And what a week it's been, huh? Last week we remembered this past Friday, the 11th, whenever that, I think that was on Friday, wasn't it? Yes. we remembered 9/11, the tragedy that took place on that day. What a horrible, horrible experience we all went through, and we, all Americans, went through. And a few days earlier than that, the tragedy of that took place with Charlie Kirk. Evil raises its head everywhere you look anymore, it seems. But you know, as Christians, if we're not careful, we can allow that same hate to enter into ourselves, and we'll find ourselves seeking retribution. We'll be wanting to get even with those rotten old people. More so than forgiving them. And we can't let that happen. Because when that happens, Satan wins. I saw a statement on Facebook this week that I thought was really, really, really applicable. And he said, it was very, very simple, and in one simple sentence. It said, I really have to wonder if Stephen wasn't the first one to meet Paul in heaven with an embrace and a godly kiss. Just think about that for a minute. Paul, the one who, as a young boy, held the cloaks and showing his approval to those that stoned Stephen. But I believe with all my heart that Stephen, rather than seeking vengeance for Paul and the things that Paul did, Stephen would much rather have sought forgiveness and love and compassion that Saul at that time would come to know the Lord Jesus and be saved and to meet him at the gates of heaven would be the greatest thing that he could have ever experienced. And I think for Charlie Kirk, I know, knowing the godly man that Charlie Kirk was, that the greatest thing that he could ever experience would be to meet his assailant at the gates of heaven, because he would know that he had been contrite in repentance for the thing that he had done. And that's all we as Christians can ever want or desire in our lives, is to see every single person, however evil or bad that they are, to come to know Jesus and to come to be saved and that we can meet them at the gates of heaven someday. Job's friends chose the right time to visit him, but took not the right course of improving their visit. Had they spent the time in praying for him, which they did in hot disputes with him, they would have profited him and pleased God more. These are words that were written by William Gurnall, a 17th century graduate of Emmanuel College in Cambridge, England, a university under strong Puritan influence. His life's work was as minister of the Church of Christ in Suffolk, England. In other words, these friends, and I use the word in quotes, friends of Job, intended comforters in his suffering, did just fine until they opened their mouths. Sometimes the best comfort is simply the comfort of our presence and the assurance of our prayers. Job chapter 16 and verse 2, Job says, I have heard many such things. Sorry comforters are you all. You know, we all experience suffering in our lives in varying degrees, and therefore we are all in need of comforting, aren't we? There's not a single one of us that aren't in need of comforting. Although we don't admit it, we'll tell ourselves we don't. In fact, the more we suffer affliction, the more likely we are to fall into despair, which is to abandon any hope whatsoever. Suffering is no respecter of age or gender or race, creed, national origin, or religion. Trouble crops up seemingly out of nowhere. At the risk of being the slightest bit pessimistic, when things seem as though they've been going too good for too long in our lives, prepare yourself. Trouble is never far away. Be thankful for the calm, for the prosperity. Be thankful for the peace. Be alert. Be vigilant. Be ready for the storm. It's a coming. It's coming. People will put on the tough guy image and tell you how they don't need anybody nor anybody's help. I can handle it all myself. It's my troubles. It's my problems. I'll handle it quite fine myself. Thank you. They rely on everything from money to drugs to alcohol to shallow relationships. The bottom line is everybody has adversities. Everybody has afflictions, troubles, and the need to be comforted. Many live with the idea that my troubles are my troubles. They're my problems and nobody else's. I'll take care of it. I'll take care of my own concerns. Thank you. But as Christians, we don't do things the conventional way, do we? We handle things a slight bit different. We march to the beat of a different drummer. We don't do things like the rest of the world does things. We are part of something that's much bigger than ourselves. We are part of the body of Christ. We're community oriented, outwardly focused. We love our neighbor as we love ourselves. So, some 3 weeks ago, the message that I preached was to pray for one another. And then the week after that, I believe, the message was to forgive one another. Ephesians 4:32 tells us the premise behind why we pray for one or why we forgive one another. Forgiving each other just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Well, today we'll be talking about the importance of comforting one another. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul will show us that the premise is very much the same. So if you have your Bibles, let's turn to chapter 1, 2 Corinthians, and beginning with verse 3, and we'll go through verse 7. And Paul says here, he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction, with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ. But if we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. Or if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which is effective in the patient enduring of the same suffering which we also suffer. And our hope for you is firmly grounded, knowing that as you are sharers of our sufferings, so also you are sharers of our comfort." See, in verses 3 through 7 here, in the NASB anyways, Paul uses the word paraklesis, which means comfort, 10 different times he uses that word. Paraklesis also means to encourage, to help, or to strengthen. Now, one thing that paraklesis does not mean is sympathy. It doesn't mean to feel sorry for somebody or to be sympathetic. Comforting is to come alongside another from a position of empathy, to strengthen and to encourage as one who can relate to what they're going through, to who can relate to their pain, can relate to their sorrow, can relate to the position they're at in life. The first couple of verses makes a kind of interesting statement. It addresses God as the God of all comfort. Now, if you're going to talk about comforting somebody, you should be taking it before the throne of somebody who can do something about it, right? Who can really comfort somebody, not just be sympathetic with them. You know, somebody's, "Oh, I'm really sorry for you," you know, but if they've never been where you've been, or if they really don't have the authority to give you comfort, then it's just empty words, isn't it? But God is the God of all comfort. God loves us and cares for us. His word tells us in Philippians 4, verse 6, to be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and by supplication, by taking that need or that concern before Him with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. No matter how bad your problems are, no matter how bad your heartache is, no matter how bad this thing is that you would normally devote to anxiety, take it before God with thanksgiving. So you're thankful for what God is about to do for you before you can see that He's even done anything. So God cares about every facet of our lives. He cares about everything as He watches out overall, all of us, as a shepherd would look out after all of his sheep. And in verse 3, it says, He is the Father of mercies, and He's the God of all comfort. He's like, it's like, when we want to talk about comfort, I'm going to introduce you to the guy that wrote the word. He defines the word comfort. He is the author of comfort. He is the God of all comfort. God is the source of our comfort. There would be no true comfort were it not for God. If there was no God, there would be no such thing as comfort. There is comfort in the truth of His existence, of God's existence. There is comfort in the truth of God's sovereignty. Do you get comfort knowing that God is sovereign? That God is the God of the whole universe? When the chips are down, when it looks like, man, it's all going south. Man, there's just no hope for this world. But then you realize, you open God's Word, and you read, you realize God is sovereign. God is in charge of everything. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Nothing can dethrone God. And if the whole world, the whole universe blew up in 2 seconds, God would still be God. And those of us who believe in Him, who believe in His Son Jesus, would be right there beside of Him. We'd be in a better place. If that doesn't give you comfort, like somebody I've heard of a long time ago used to say, if that don't light your fire, your wood's wet. The existence of God gives us comfort. The sovereignty of God gives us comfort. And that we have that we can pray to Him anywhere, anytime, any place. We have access to God. We can pray to Him. Prayer to God gives us comfort. The greatest comfort of all is in His Son, Jesus Christ. Does that not give you comfort? That He died for us and His blood on the cross washed away all our sins. We are saved. We are redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. If that don't give you comfort, I'm sorry, you're comfortless. The redemption that we have through His sacrifice and His resurrection, that is the greatest comfort of all. God gave us comfort in His Holy Spirit that dwells within each one of us that are believers in Jesus Christ. Each one of us that are immersed believers in Him. The Holy Spirit is Himself called the Comforter. How appropriate. And He dwells within us. In John 14:16, He's called the Comforter. And we have the constant source of comfort in God's Word. It's enough to know that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's enough to know that Jesus died for our sins. And His blood has covered us and we are redeemed. It's enough to know those things, but just in case we start getting a little bit foggy on those things, we need to see it in print. God's Word is a great comforter. Through all these many ways, God comforts us in our afflictions. He encourages us, He strengthens us, He gives us wisdom and discernment when it's needed. God is continually at work in the lives of His children, comforting and protecting and encouraging and loving and providing for us. Yes, but notice two little words in verse 4. So that. Here's the reason. God comforts us in our afflictions so that we will be able to pass that on to those who are in any affliction. That's our whole purpose, Christians. God saved us. Jesus died for us, for our sins, so that we can do what? Just sit and say, oh, my, you know, like little Jack Horner sat in a corner eating his Christmas pie. He stuck in his thumb and pulled out a plum and said, what a good boy am I. That's what us Christians are made. Jesus saved us, and we can just sit in a corner and say, my, what a good boy am I. I'm saved by the blood of Jesus, and I'm just going to wait till he comes for me. That is not our assignment. He saved us so that we can be a reflection of him, that we can go out and we can love like him, we can forgive like him, we can be like him in all ways and share the gospel message of what saved us can save you. So that we can be able to pass it on to those that are in any affliction. In other words, people in need of comfort. He comforted us. He can comfort you in the same way. Misery loves company, as they say. When the difficult circumstances of life come pounding on your door, and whoever heard of having advance warning for an adversity, right? We don't know when those things are going to come. We don't know when trouble's going to hit us. You can wake up in the morning and the sun can be shining and it's beautiful out and everything's great, and before noon, the sun or the rain is pouring down. And our 70-degree weather goes to 10 below. That's just Michigan, of course. Suffering comes in many shapes and sizes, unique to every person. When I'm hurting and feeling sorry for myself, wondering, why me, who do I instinctively turn to for inspiration and uplifting? Somebody that's been insulated their whole life from pain and suffering that I'm presently experiencing, or someone who has walked in my shoes. Someone that knows what it is to have nowhere else to turn. And just when you were at that point of despair, when one decides that there is no hope, there is no comfort, that's where you come in and offer that comfort. Or rather, you pass on that comfort that was so graciously given to you. You might share that, you know what, I was once in your place. I once thought, you know what, she's all gone. There's just no hope. I thought I didn't have a hope in the world. But you know what? I found out there was a hope in the world. There was a hope in heaven. There was a hope in God's word. There was a hope in Jesus Christ. And that hope is not a wish. That hope is truth. And I can bank on it. I can depend upon that hope. We all have a hope someday for eternal life. And we haven't seen it yet. We haven't seen it yet. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor entered into the heart of man. All that he has waiting for us. But we know for a fact that it's there. Someday we're going to be there and we have the hope of that eternal life. We can plan on it. And that's why we don't worry about death. We don't worry and fret and stew about that, because when somebody says, why doesn't it worry you about about all the terrible things going on around about you? Don't you worry about getting sick and dying? Actually, I don't. If I walk out in front of a truck in 10 minutes, and 10 seconds later, I'll be with the Lord. and I'll be so far, so much better off. You know, that's the hope that we all have. And that's where our comfort comes from. Without that comfort, without that hope, we wouldn't have comfort, would we? We'd be just like the rest of the world that runs around worrying and stewing and fretting and not knowing where their next meal's coming from. And oh my goodness, you know, we saw all this go. We witnessed all of this during the pandemic, didn't we? People that didn't know, oh my goodness, I'm going to get sick and I'm going to die. And oh my goodness, they anguished every single day. Where is your hope? Verse 4 says, Who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. As we said earlier, the underlying premise for our comforting one another is essentially the same as for forgiving one another. Because He, just like He did for us, He forgave us, and we need to forgive others in the same manner. He comforted us, and so we need to comfort others in the same manner. Pass it on. So the Bible tells us not to worry about anything. It says, God's got us covered. So as Christian believers, what would any of us have that would require comforting? Well, if only it were that simple, I guess. It's not only about worrying. Adversity and trouble and difficult situations, things that concern us and stress us out, they come along and just barge right in on the rest of us. Sickness, affliction, financial difficulties, relationship problems, death of loved ones, spiritual crisis. These things can occur whether we're anxious or whether we're not. People need comforting because life happens. So let's go to verses 5 through 7. We need to comfort one another. Sometimes the degree of our comforting is to remind them of the omnipotence. I like to remind myself what that means. The omnipotence is the omnipotence or the all-powerfulness of God, of our Heavenly Father. That regardless of how their circumstances may appear, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And is and will continue to be in complete control. Sometimes comforting one another is as simple as revealing the truths of Scripture. Verses 5 and 6 tell us as believers, we're going to experience suffering because of Christ. Why shouldn't we? He did. But we'll also receive comfort proportionately. Again, God is the source of all comfort. So the more the suffering, the more the comfort. In verse 6, Paul says, if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which is effective in the patient enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Which is to say that when we're comforting one another with the comfort we receive through Christ, it gives us the ability to be patient when we are going through the suffering, knowing that others have endured what we're going through now. It's like having a voice of reason that is a calming effect on others that were previously panicking. That one voice of reason pointing toward the truth, letting others know everything will be all right. Satan does not like this. He hates it, as a matter of fact. Calm is not good, For him, chaos is good. Fear is good. Panic is good. Because that's when people aren't walking by faith. You're not walking by faith. All those things apply. Not relying on God. The experiences we have that result in increased faith needs to be shared, which comforts others and builds faith and hope. Do you ever notice that when you find yourself really venturing into anxiety? When you're really having problems with, you know, not necessarily are you doubting God, but you're letting yourself be drawn into anxiety, to worrying about these issues or these problems, these things that crop up in our lives. What you're not doing is having faith in God. You're looking for ways that you can overcome that problem yourself in your own methods. It's not until you finally decide to place this problem or this issue in God's hands to do what Philippians chapter 4 says to do, to pray with thanksgiving to God, deliver those anxieties, and He'll take care of it for you. But you've got to surrender, that anxiety and give it to Him, and then it's, you know, you've surrendered the things that you're trying to come up with the answer for. One of the great comforts God blesses us with is hope. The faith we have as believers in Jesus Christ and the power of prayer keeps the believer in a mindset of hope in a world flooded by despair. Despair, what a word. Despair denies a solution at all, whatsoever. It's the antithesis of hope. For someone professing to believe in Jesus to say that they are in despair, what does that say about the faith that they have in God's omnipotence? You can't really put those two in the same sentence, can you? You can't say God is omnipotent, He's all-powerful, and then say, well, I'm desperate, I'm in despair. There is no help, there is no hope. Well, what about the guy you said is omnipotent? He might have another thing to say about this. Turn it over to him. Matthew 19, verse 26. Jesus says, with people this is impossible, whatever this is, anything. With people this is impossible. With you and your thinking that you, whatever you think you can come up with on your own is, yeah, it is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Therefore, the trust, the hope that we have in God is itself comfort. It is our comfort to know that He always loves and cares for us. That I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you, from Hebrews 13:5. That God causes all things to work together for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Those are things that bring us comfort. Those verses, you know, we say, well, I'm not good at memorizing Scripture. You know, I'm not good at memorizing a whole chapter of Scripture, but there are certain precious promises that I can lock away in my mind and I can remember. And those things come to mind. And the Holy Spirit helps to pop those things into my mind at just the right times to give me comfort. And I can call on those things. And they help to, like I said, they bring me comfort, and I rely on those things, and if nothing else, to steer me in the direction of Him instead of in the direction of me. And take away the anxiety. And to show me that He cares for me. He cares for me. And He gives me comfort. And He gives each and every one of you comfort. If you don't go away from here today with anything else other than those areas I listed for you earlier, where do we get our source of comfort as Christians? In God's Word, if you want to see it in print. Jesus Christ, who died for you and shed His blood on the cross for you to cover your sins. He is your source of redemption. That gives you comfort. The Holy Spirit, that when you were immersed in the waters of baptism, your sins were washed away and you received the indwelling gift of the Holy Spirit. He dwells within you. Does that not give you comfort? That gives you, there's comfort in that. And the fact that God is a whisper away. He's always accessible to you. You can pray to Him anywhere, any place, any time. That is comfort. All these things are comforting to you, should be a comfort to you in your walk with Jesus. Make Him your first choice. Your number one, your first choice at any time any of that stuff, those little storms in life come up, boom, there's where I'm going to go with it. I can't do nothing about it, but He sure can. He's omnipotent. He's always there. He's in charge of everything, no matter how bad the news might make things look when I turn on the TV. That's the world's problem, not my problem. I've got a God that can take care of all of it. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we love You and we praise You, Father, for all that You've done for us and are doing. Lord, we praise You for giving us the comfort that we need. You've not left a stone unturned in our lives. You watch over us. You care for us. And every time that there is an anxiety that wants to creep up in our lives, whenever there's issues that Satan tries to throw in our paths, You are there to help us overcome those things. Lord, we love You. We praise You. And this morning, we just pray, Lord, that if there's an issue in any life that's here this morning, that you would cover that, that you would assure them that You are their comfort and their joy. Father, I pray that if there's anyone here today that doesn't know You, Lord, that today would be the day of redemption for them. Convict each heart of any sin problems in their lives, Lord, that they may repent of them. This day be the day of salvation for them. We praise You and thank You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.